So we are meeting here for the runtime config db meeting for March 20th. And we're about to start the meeting. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so I did something here. I already have, I was ahead of myself. I already created the page for this week, so I'm actually creating a page for next week. All right, see, I am just opening up the page. Okay, so here's the meeting page for March 20th. And now that I made the page for next week, let me just put that in the right place here. Actually, that's probably not a good idea, but anyway. Okay, so in the last couple weeks, we were working on the R7 proposal, and it was presented, actually, on Ala's call. So let me just show you what I presented so everybody's on the same page here. I am just going to, okay. Just gonna pull up the slides here. Let's see, it's an older version. Okay, so here it is, March 16th. And write down who's here. Oops. Okay, so we have and Ted. For some reason, I can't find Ted. All right, so basically, it's the slides that all of us worked on for this project, and all I really did was I just added this one slide for the executive summary, business impact, business and markets, funding and financial impacts, organizational management, sales strategy. So the runtime.
Are you sharing something then?
Oh shoot! Really? I'm not sharing. I am sharing.
Your screen is sharing, but you're talking over executive summary and such like. I just don't see it.
Okay. Let me. So can you see my screen now?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, sorry. So let me go back to the top here. So basically, this slide pack, which is loaded in the R6 package is loaded, and all I really added, I think, was this one slide I might have added. Yeah, I think this is the only slide. I might have renamed some. I think I renamed that R6 to R7. And I moved these slides up. But basically, it's the slides that's in our project page. But I'll load this up into today's notes as well. And also, I need to load them up to the Gwaylin proposal page, which I'll show you in a second. So the we wordsmithed this last time, so I'll just run through it really quickly. The runtime config DB data persistence service is a new platform component that's designed to service the data repository for runtime data that needs to be persistent. As a standalone ONAP component, this project provides data layer services to other ONAP platform components and use cases that require persistent configuration or operational data. And we just also want to note that all the stuff we did in R6 will be enhanced as well. The business impact, the ability for service operators to visualize and manage data in a RAN network with ONAP is a critical business function because they are key lifecycle management and OEM operations. The project has business impacts to enhance the operation of data handling with ONAP by providing efficient data layer services. Business markets, this project applies to any domain, wireless transport, optical wireline that ONAP may manage. It is not a market or geographic specific capability. It's expected that scaled ONAP installations such as Edge and Core ONAP deployments will also deploy the database across each installation. Funding and financial impacts. This project represents a large potential operating OPEX savings for operators because of the ability to configure network saving time and expenses. For organization and sales, there's no additional organization or sales strategy that's used this use case outside of what normal service providers normally use to deploy ONAP and its attendant organizational resources. Okay, so this was what we had worked on a couple of weeks ago for 2 weeks in the these are a little old here, so let's see. I have to go to our project page here. So if you go to and I don't know, one copy the previous one, but the I think the 13th should certainly our proposal here. So this is where we talked about the R7 proposal, and all I did was I just cut and paste that to here. So all the other slides you've seen before, and let me show you the R7 proposal. Page here. So this is the R7 page, which I'll link in a second here. And there's a little table of all of the projects in R7, including our project, and a table of kind of who's the lead. If any of you want to be a major lead in this project, you're welcome to add your name to it. We need to eventually find a PTL. So whoever the PTL will be should also definitely be in this as a lead contact. Okay, so there were a bunch of proposals made on this past Monday on the 16th, and one of them was our proposal. And all I really did was I just showed some of the really basic concepts of, you know, I think I walked through this slide and I just walked through, you know, when we get a CM notify event, it writes to the database, and other things can write to the database, such as the OFSON PCI, and also, of course, when the controller needs to do something, it may write to the database and send information back to the PNF. So hopefully you've seen these already. And that's all I had time to go over, just these four slides in this top thing here. So that's all I presented on Monday. And I will add our slides here, like the network slicing team did. They actually just noticed yesterday on the 5G call that the network slicing added a thing like this. So I'll do that for us as well.
How was it received then?
Oh, very well, actually. There was, it was received very well. There wasn't even any question about the new, I was kind of expecting, wow, are you sure you really want to make a new platform component? But they didn't actually ask about that. So it was interesting.
For the separate component, you have to go through the architecture committee in order to get TIC approved, or you need to go to TIC directly. Last time, because it was late.
That's a good question, Joanne. So absolutely, we need to make, we do need to present at the TSC once. We've already presented a number of times at the architecture. The next thing we need to do is
I think the TSC is the last step we've
passed. Correct. Right. Yeah, that's correct. That's right. Yep. So whenever we get our project proposal ready, we can do that. Okay. There was somebody else that joined. Mark. Okay. Let's see. So I just want to make sure. I think I have missing a topic that we talked about from last time as well. Let's see. Needs to be updated. This is what we were missing here. I had started a thing on this R7 stuff. add this in here. So I started a new line for R7 Gwilym development. And let's see if I can drop this now. Oh boy, let me get going. Okay. So this needs to be updated. And I'll add in our presentation. Name the requirements subcommittee on March 16th. Okay, and I'll add a file here. This was the there was a comment that was made actually. I almost forgot about it. So Alessandro De Alessandro made a comment about can a vendor with a completely, totally independent database that's outside of ONAP may wish to sync up with the database that we're using or developing. And his point was that data in the independent database might have overlapping information. So if there is already an existing data lake already developed and in use by the service provider, is there some way that those two data lakes, you know, those two databases, those two pools of data can somehow sync together? That was his question. So what I did was I pointed to the architecture proposal that we made, and I said, you know, there is, we did, actually, let me bring it up to show you. So what I did was I pointed to our operational description, which is kind of our long-term vision, right? During the meeting, I kind of looked through this and I said, well, way at the bottom here, there, we talk about this API that could be an interface to allow for something else to read, assuming it's been authorized, to connect and read from our database, and that might be one way to sync. I don't know what other people thought, though. I wrote it down because that I was sort of thinking on the fly, and I told them I'd write that point down and bring it to the team on Friday. So is that, from other people's experience, is that something that we need to think about or mention in the project proposal or take care of?
Well, we had talked about syncing already. I mean, in the project proposal, we have talked about syncing and the different directions in which you could sync. Uh-huh. So if you wanted the two databases to coexist, then the synchronization from other sources and which is master, the periodic synchronization, all that kind of stuff comes in under this. If you wanted to go further and have the runtime config DB as a facade that's using some other data lake implementation, mm-hmm. then you're talking about a change in the implementation or architecture to make the underlying database technology pluggable. Mm-hmm. Which I don't necessarily see as a bad thing, but you know, it can be part of our vision if we wanted to make that database technology selection independent. So that's my thoughts on it. The two sides. One, I think we already covered with the synchronization part. Mm-hmm. And two, if it was hard and fast, that the overlap was such that the operators really didn't want to do synchronization, they wanted to use the runtime config DB as a facade.
I think this is let's uh-huh. get we don't drag in this scope. We have to focus on scope. Otherwise, we cannot accomplish right now. Like say, service provider may need something right now. We're mm-hmm. dragging our some. We have to finish something like develop something. Yeah. As final, even small scope, we can deal with something.
Right. Yeah,
we can add in something. Right now, we have nothing.
Right.
You gotta realize it.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point.
We need
to
deal with something. Mm-hmm. Then we add in scope.
Then we can add
so
stuff.
That's very critical. Yeah. Everybody aim at, because right now, like say slicing some very important use case from OWNUP depend on us.
Right.
If we don't deliver something, they will deliver something they will internally anyway, you know.
They'll
so we lost
the
value for the market. Yeah.
Right.
So we need to focus, really fundamental focus on what we try to deliver.
Yeah.
Then they say, like you're doing the onboarding, right?
Yeah.
You do it in plug and play. You're adding on as the time goes by.
Mm-hmm.
Just deliver like a plug and play. We plug and play something. Then we add in some scope gradually, step by step.
Yeah.
We have
so for sure, this is something. This is something that's a longer term point. And Alessandro knows that. I mentioned that also in the thing. For sure, this is not something that's a sort of a short time frame thing. I think I agree with Tony. I mean, we kind of have mentioned synchronizing with other sources. I mean, I think maybe the only thing we need to add is just a word like an external database, which, you know, it is something we would probably add much further down the road. I think we'd have to have already.
Yeah, that's far beyond the, Because AT&T, like, we provide a lot of database.
Yes.
If you like to say we have a lot of data we synchronize, you cannot do that. I'm telling you, it's not our responsibility to synchronize the entire database or all the network. We initially proposed only for the, you know, for the 5G. Right now, say you know, like the scope defined optical network, layer 3, layer 2, a lot of data being synchronized. It's not our responsibility. Responsibility is the configuration database to, you know, project to in the owner. Initially, so the 5G. We can add in on the 5G optical network, either on layer 2 Ethernet or in the IP network. But right now we focus on 5G, right? Let's focus on get the 5G down first, then you can add in on whatever you want to add in on. Right now we don't even have any configuration database from OWNUP per se.
Agreed, okay. I think I get your point, John.
I would have just added external customer databases of such as when you say synchronize other sources and then you say external sources such as PNS, and then I would have said customer databases and left it at that. But fair enough.
I think it's such a sort of big potential
thing.
But I think I'd want to just, they're related. Maybe I'll move them together.
Benjamin.
Yes.
I think for this new bullet,
yes,
I don't think it's belong to this synchronization part. This should be part of this consumer API that we may consider to provide a consumer API for external database synchronization. I mean, if you look at all other bullets, this is talking about synchronization with ANAI, synchronization with PNF.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do with the external database. So it's little bit weird that we have one bullet talking about synchronization with an external database. Can we move it to some other place like a consumer API? Because I think that synchronization with external database is more like a consumer level.
Uh-huh.
To make use of this configuration database.
Okay, what do people think about that moving it here?
Yeah.
That may be okay. But this is down the road, you know.
It's definitely down the road, Joanne. We agree. I completely agree with you. But you know, the project proposal is meant to be something you're doing for a long time. It's not just for this particular release. So it's the project proposal isn't meant just to describe R6 or R7. It's meant to describe R6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's for the whole lifetime of OWNUP, right? So,
plug and play
have a project proposal. Plug and play was just a part of a number of other things. So, this is an actual project proposal. This is very different than what I did for plug and play, right? So you have to keep in mind, it's not just to try to do one little thing, right? It's for a whole multiple releases, right? So
So Ben, like, even because I haven't gone to Friday meeting a few times, I'm trying to say, if we focus on, say, we want to go to the separate component, let's get a focus on pass on TSC first. Don't drag in too long. Let's say last time, because we delayed to prepare for TSC, we can get a TSC pass as an independent component. Now we can do it. If not a TSC, say we disagree, say TSC, we didn't get approval for the independent component or for the ONAP, now we have to stay the CCSDK. Now we approach on the CCSDK approach. So let's say maybe I would say focus on what we can do R7, then we can add in on, because the database thing, the things that the
I understand your viewpoint, but in order to present this, we have to complete our project proposal, right? So we're almost there. I think we're very, very close to completing our project proposal. We've already presented our requirements. I mean, we've filled out everything pretty much. I mean, maybe the only thing left is...
We did last release, almost approved, just to say, are we, because the time frame, so too late. So that's the reason they denied us, right? The last R6.
Yeah.
So this is not the content. So we don't want to do too broad the scope. You may have if scope too broad, like the, you know, may have potential issue. I would say just focus the things now to do what TSC gave, say, rejection because of the time frame. Now we are in the early stage. We can, you know, book on the time. So we want to independent. There's nothing to say. So what's another comment to reject? You know, I'm just saying we need to clear direction, either staying platform as an independent component or CCSDK. So now we now this next stage, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we got your point, Joanne. You've made it 20 times. So I think we are going to present this at the TSC very soon, I hope. We've filled out everything we need to fill out. I think the only thing left was just the prefix and the name, which is what got us talking about the whole name of the project. And once we choose a repo name, project name, I think we're ready to present at the, we're ready to present, right? So this, again, the presentation from the requirements and what Alessandro asked, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's something that's, for sure, it's something that's a longer term thing. There's no doubt about that. Okay, so we don't need to dwell on that, I feel. okay, so let me just mark this as closed. Okay, let me see. All right, let's see, what else do we need to do here?
To get a TSC approval, I'm concerned and say TSC approval, what's the condition? Like say proposal pass, do they need to ask us say the results or the PTL stuff, or they just say the proposal solution will be okay, makes sense, and then we can that will be fine. All they have to do, I didn't go through TSC approval processes last time. Do they have a criteria, say, standard, what we need to be in or out something?
So my understanding is that you have to have this project proposal filled out completely. And if you look at the project proposal, I mean, it asks you a lot of things, right? I mean, there's quite a bit of information that they ask you to complete. So I think if you've completely filled out your project proposal, and we're only gonna get probably, you know, maybe 20 minutes on to present all of this, right? So you won't have a lot of time to present this, but they, I think they'll have assumed you've done your due diligence and that that you've been pretty careful in describing everything, right? So I think that the next step certainly is to actually propose and see what they think. I've never done an actual presentation of a project proposal, so I'm just, you know, guessing this is what needs to happen next, right? So
yes, we know who, like say the TIC, and also each company has one, right?
Yeah.
The different company has one stakeholder, right?
Yeah.
To see if just say you do the proposal 20 minutes.
Huh.
Last time, because we didn't timeline beyond the timeline, so huh. They say no. But what about this time? We are in timeline. What else do we need to do?
What
that's my question to you.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think if we look through the thing, to have an actual project, I think they may ask us things like, where's your repo and, you know, and things like that. So that might be something that might ask us what sort of these, do you have a repository? Do you have a PTL? I mean, if they ask us, do you have a PTL? We don't really have a good answer for that, right? So that's kind of that's kind of a concern, I suppose. So I think, you know, I would encourage that when we do make the TSC proposal, that as many of us are on that call as possible. Certainly the people that are, you know, that are interested should try to be on that call, I feel. So I don't know.
So like a database, right? Like I'm sorry, don't interrupt.
Yeah,
configuration database right now, right? For
the
certainly Sandeep initially, he said he would do it, but he sent me email. He said he has a really limited capacity. So we need to ask, you know, whoever would like to contribute. It would be 2-3 companies like contribute that we can talk about. And now one for the, I'm dealing with the other one that may want to do something. So certainly I'm just like, Sandeep may not be able to deliver all the capabilities so far for R7.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to continue to, you know, find the right, maybe 2-3 companies to deliver this or one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a lot of work and money.
Right. I think there's a lot of, you know, R6 continuation work, and then there's a lot of R7 uh-huh. new stuff. So for sure, I think what we've started in R6, I don't think we should give up on that, because, you know, if we don't deliver something, we'll have nothing, right? So I think we need to
mm-hmm.
we need to do that. I feel like we, you know, I know Zhu has stated that, gee, you know, are we really trying to do something new or not? But I think it's important that we at least try to continue what we have. Otherwise, we may not deliver anything, right? So I think it's important that
mm-hmm.
we at least try. okay, so let me see.
So if you have the connection, let's say the TSC who's approved to see ask us like Chuck, what I would say, if he say architecture approved, so spec us, we need configuration DB. As a, you know, the independent component of our own platform, at least we have someone, you know, say from architecture committee group say, okay, right, then just TSC, that should be fine. I mean, can we say architecture committee already agree with our proposal for the on this?
So we've never made a presentation to the TSC mm-hmm. yet. So I think that's something we should do. So we aren't going to be able to just go there and present. It takes, you know, 1 week to say, I'd like to add to the agenda. And usually they're already, I guarantee you next week is already full with topics. So we can say, you know, 2 weeks from now, we would like to present something. I think that would be fine. I think you can present, you can add a topic kind of 2 weeks in advance, I think. That's possible. So if we feel we're basically ready, I mean, we can, you know, we can say that we're ready, and you know, and then I can send an email to them to to let them know that you know we'd like to present. So if we feel this is good enough, you know, and we could always say we haven't picked a PTL yet. We're still finalizing on a name. I don't think that'll be a problem if we say, you know, we're still working on a couple things. Because it'll take enough time, I think, at the presentation just to go over the basic concept, because a lot of people will not have seen, will not have seen this project, I think. So, okay. So thanks, Joanne. I think that's, maybe we should schedule. What do you think for,
I think you should, because last time the time frame, you know.
It was bad, yeah.
I was a little bit shocked, yeah.
Yes, yeah, and this is the beginning of R7, right? So let's do that. We'll, I'll ask for, by email first, I'll ask for a TSC presentation slot.
Yeah, maybe so Tony, do you have any?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tony and Ju, you have any, if Erickson, you have any question on this from your Erickson perspective? Like say, do we have any question on this thing we can, you know, right?
I don't have any questions on the pushing for a proposal with the, or a review with the TSC. I think that's, I think it's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also fine with that.
Okay.
Ben, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
If you all have time, can you? I have a question. I missed a couple of meetings. Maybe you already explained, but if you have time, just go to the step 120.
Step 0 to 7 steps somewhere.
You described. I have a question about that.
Sure. Okay. So that was basically a while ago. We were trying to discuss what's the roadmap between R6 and R7, right? And so in order to do that, we have two teams that are working together over two releases, and we wanted to make sure those two teams were aware of each other. So what I did was I just wrote down very simply kind of this diagram just in words, right? So I basically said, well, and there's actually a step 0 too.
You have a later one. I think it's more updated. And I think in general, I know what those steps are. But my last question,
Hold on, let me try to find the full thing here. One second. Let's see. The one I have there is a little out of date. Here's the full one. Okay, let me just copy this. Let me just copy this and get this up to date. Okay, so this stuff has been moved down also into its own R7 thing down. Oh wait, I have the new one here already. Okay, so this is all repeated. Let me see. Okay, so I think this can be just deleted actually. So here's the actual steps. Yeah. Did you have an immediate
question? First question, like step 5 and 6, and you have something like R6 down, and then has arrow point to R7. Uh-huh. Are you saying the same solution will be remain unchanged in R7, or you're going to maybe enhance the step 5 and 6?
Let me answer your question before you ask another one. So basically this is a roadmap. Maybe it's not so clear, but this is the roadmap of what we plan to be doing in R7, right? So this is a summary of the of the steps for, you know, the runtime can be DB, how it operates basically, as a reference, right? So this, the things in the blue steps down here are just meant to show you, you know, the steps we reference that we talk about up here, this is what they mean, right? So first you have to understand what all these steps are, right? So step zero is setting up and design time and setting up the schema. Step one is essentially that either your simulated base station or or some other simulator is creating this CMBus notify event. Step two, three, and four are ONAP receiving that CM notify bus event, the DMAP bus collector and DCA processing that bus event, the CM notify bus event, and then publishing it onto DMAP. And then step five is something, whether it's our own standalone project or it's CCSDK, but something is listening to DMAP and getting that bus event off of DMAP. And then step six is doing something with that event. In other words, updating the database, right? So does that make sense to you? Do these steps make sense to you?
Yeah. I understand those steps, but okay. For the step five and six.
Five and six.
So that, those steps so far in the R6, you're going through the CCSDK to listen to the DMAP and then to get the information, and so that right into the config DB. So would that be done in R6? It will be enhanced to R7 because you want to, I understand you may want to have runtime DB, it's independent from
CCSDK.
Is that something you want to?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me write that down. So basically, if the runtime config DB is as a standalone component, if it's its own standalone component, then it would listen to DMAP, right? And it would basically this is new development in R7. So basically, if it were its own standalone component, then it would have its own listener off of DMAP to be able to get messages off of the DMAP bus, and it would no longer be part of CCSDK, right? So this is this is something that's new.
Okay, so this is the one thing I want to clarify.
Yes, right.
And other thing is step 1A. So you okay, so step one, step zero, you set up schema, and then you jump to step one to do the CM notification. But between step zero and step one, there is let's say there is a PNF instantiation procedure.
Yes.
That will be, for example, in case of a PNF case, then they will be creating the PNF, right?
Yes.
So and then during that time, I believe this runtime DB somehow will be populated with some actual value during the PNF. So what I'm trying to say is step zero will be something you create a template in the runtime DB. And during the runtime, when you instantiate PNF, you probably create a runtime DB at instance level and populate with some values related to the PNF. And then when the PNF creation is finished, then you go to the PNF could go through the CM notification to further update the database. So I'm just wondering,
maybe
between step zero, step one, there's one more step.
Let me see if I can kind of answer your question. So there's a bunch of things that kind of happen between step zero and step one, right?
Okay.
And let me point you to a couple pages that might help you understand more. So if you go to the PNF support use cases here, I'll put it in the chat. Okay. So two of the big things that happen between step zero and step one are plug and play and onboarding and pre-onboarding, right? And so there's a very full descriptions of what happens in those use cases. So there's a lot of things that come up to bring up a PNF, right? And that's what you're talking about. The service is instantiated and defined in design time, and then the PNF is instantiated and it comes online and registers with ONAP and so forth. So these are the basic steps that happen in plug and play. Now, coinciding with that, during design time, the schema and things that are related to your PNF are also onboarded that might be related to or needs to be added to dynamically define stuff in the config.db, right? And then the actual PNF comes up, contacts, and registers with ONAP, and there's an instance of that PNF that's defined during the service instantiation, and then it's actually used, and its entry is noted in ANEI, and that's when the database is also updated with whatever other information related to that PNF instance that's necessary. I think that's all captured. Personally, I think that's all captured here. There's, during design time, we need to, there may be some essentially onboarding stuff that comes during onboarding from a vendor that helps us or also affects how we set up the schema. And then the other page that I sent in that link is
I fully agree that. So the design time you have
stuff, right. So 1 second. So basically in the onboarding page here, there's things that happen during onboarding as well, where basically, a vendor brings their package, which has a lot of things you may define related to that PNF, the descriptor, the model, its YAML files, information artifacts, configuration files, and then things like that. And that's all onboarded. And part of that, as a bundle of all this information, I think is some of that information that might be vendor specific or PNF specific to set up what you need to set up the database with. And that stuff, we did a little bit of that in our 6, but I think we probably need to do more of that in our 6.
I think it's good you have very high level. It's a step 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's good.
Yeah.
So I fully understand that, and the detail will come up when the project goes along. But what I'm trying to say is, so in the runtime during the plug and the play, the impact to the runtime DB is, the runtime DB could written or populate with some actual value, that from the AI and SDNC or other component.
Mm-hmm.
So, and before you have step one to do the CM notification on the actual database. So that's what I want to say. I'm not sure if I make my point clear, because you have design time, then you jump to the post the instantiation directly. And then, so in between 0 and 1.
Can I respond before you jump to 3 other points? So make a point, let me respond, So, and let me see if I caught up and got your point. So your point, I think, and let me repeat it back to you to see if I understood. You're saying, before CM notify, there may be other pathways that need to update stuff into the runtime DB. Let me respond to that. So I think I agree. So there is basically another there's certainly another way that information it needs to come into sync, and I didn't draw this, so that's a good point. So basically, what could happen, for example, is that basically, ANEI has information. Hold on 1 second. And I think it's going to look similar to sort of this scenario. So basically, what there's 2 things that happen in ANEI, right? So during the network setup, there's a they call it get all. There's a get all function we need to do, which basically retrieves from ANEI the entire the entire graph, right? The entire ANN graph. And then there's basically updates, right? So basically when you first set up your whole network and when things get arrive or deleted, right? So additions and deletions, right? And you're saying, and I completely agree, you're saying that, well, you know, before you get a CM notify, like we're showing in step one, there can be the ANEI stuff, your initial network can be in place. And so we've talked about that actually. Joanne and I met with Jimmy because we were also concerned, could we get that basic information from ANEI? And we
that one, I just say, I'm assuming that other one, because I didn't go through detail stuff by chronological order, my kids in the school, sorry for the noise. So the one right now, right, the initially PNF loading to the runtime config DB, that's the initial consumed as the step zero. Because that's schema setting, they need the PNF information from ANAI. So the ANAI will give us initial load for PNF information from ANAI to runtime config DB. That's the business schedule, step zero. Already included. Yeah.
So we actually discussed this. So Junfeng knows. Let me show Junfeng the.
You don't have to write the detail, but it's just at the high level. So there is a step during the runtime. Like service creation and PNFization, there is a chance to write into the config DB at the PNF instance level. That's true.
It's I mean, Junfeng is right. There is it's kind of a step 1B. We didn't really show it, but basically, there's two things that happen, right? One is the sort of, and let me just make sure I got the term right here. One second. We captured it in our flows. Let me see. We discussed it with ANAI during our flow discussion. Let's see. So, and I think I even put the ANAI. Oh, you know what? I captured it in a notes. So let me see. Where's the flow? Here. Okay. So. So basically, there's essentially we checked with ANAI to see how we do that, and ANAI basically. They post an update when there's an atomic update onto DMAP, and then DMAP retrieves that. So, I mean, maybe we need a slightly different. This flow is just showing the CM notify thing, but there's also a whole new flow for ANAI. There's another whole flow for ANAI as well, and I didn't show that flow mostly because it's not two different teams working on that. The reason why I showed this flow is because
I think something you know, just can consider team, because you don't have to 100% complete.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point. There's actually a whole other series of steps, you know, 1 through 6 for initial ANAI setup, the database, and also a whole other series of steps actually for an ANAI update that occurs. So basically what happens is, for ANAI, there's
that's not ANAI update. So the thing right now, you know, we just, this is the PNF information, right, the old PNF information, why do we need it? Eventually in the target one, right, just say, when we build a database, the PNF planning of record information should be in the resign the config DB. So what happened, they need all the application in the platform, they need the PNF information, they should come to config DB to get it. So the ANI should have the very minimum skeleton for PNF information so far. Entire PNF record all in the configure DB. That's supposed to be. So we have to make sure we have the disposition.
So can I respond to that?
Yeah.
So basically, there are things that need to be synced across the two things. And I say that because if, for example, ANI says, you know, this PNF has gone away, or a new PNF occurs, that has been added, that's something in the scope of ANI. We don't control that in the DB, right? So when a PNF disappears, it's gone, removed, we also have to remove that record in the DB. So most of the time I agree with you that the database is managing a lot of these parameters and stuff. But the one thing that we don't manage is when a PNF is removed, we need to be updated when that happens, right? And that's what a lot of this is about.
Yeah, so basically that's the PNF instance level, right? So so that
it's not come from the like ASDC like planning. The ones really come from the network adding. You can say, how do we add in network elements? How do we remove network elements? Say, if we're adding network elements, we'll be adding right now. So when they do plug-in play use case, we didn't have the configure DB. So the registration right now, configure DB, like say network element registration, the registration in the ANI currently in ONAP. So supposedly right away, so configure PNF registration, network element registration should be staying in the contact, in our configure DB. So right now, so the setup, because we don't have configure DB, and all the go to the adding network element information come to the ANI. So if we don't have, so eventually, Ben, if we say you PNF plug in play, you once when the configure DB established, so it's better to change the registration into the in the configure DB instead of in the ANI. So then this way, a configure DB become truly database record of the PNF.
Yeah. Yeah, what you described is correct, but it doesn't flag between 0 and 1. You know what I mean?
So,
it is.
So, Joanne, that's an interesting point. I think we need to discuss with ANI if you want to do that. Right now, ANI is the master of the dynamic topology updates. And if you want instead the runtime DB to do that, I don't have a problem with that, but I think ANI would not like that. So we probably need to discuss that with, that's a point of discussion maybe with ANI. But in any case, at some point, things, when a new PNF comes in, is added or deleted, these two things need to sync up, okay? And so yeah, things have to happen at that time, whether the runtime DB is the first to know about it or whether ANI is the first to know about it. What we do know is after somebody says, oh, there's a new PNF instance through PNF Reg or whatever, plug and play. These two things need to sync up because they each have a record of the PNF. And just so you know, I heard something which I disagree with, and that is that ANI has very little PNF information. So that's not true, unfortunately. It has, and this is one of the reasons why we're doing this, right? Because there's a whole bunch of, I was getting concerned actually, there's a whole bunch of PNF information that's starting to be added into ANI that doesn't belong in ANI, right? So if you look, I mean, ANI has a whole bunch of stuff related to a PNF already. And there are things that are definitely inventory related, equipment, vendor type. I mean, those are definitely inventory type information for sure, right? Maybe addresses are starting to push a little bit, but you can see there's definitely, serial number, and there are things that are inventory related for sure. Some things are questionable, like maybe software version isn't an inventory type thing that maybe should belong in the runtime config DB, but the point is that as time goes on, there's a lot of other use cases and requirements that will come along that are starting to add things to ANI. And that's the reason why we need this project. So I think one of the things we should say at the TSC is, you know, the reason for this is that we're starting to see other use cases such as OAuth and SAN PCI as a really good example that might have added stuff to ANI just because there's nowhere else to add it, right? And that's one of the main reasons we need this project, right?
That's a critical point. Yeah. Right now, if the RCVP not kicking R7, then basically you don't have a chance because everybody put into the NAI become huge database,
that's
which
right.
is not good. Even the AT&T, they push out already third database in the right now as direction.
Right.
In the ONAP, we have to be on the in the kick in R7.
Yeah.
So the supposedly ping up info shouldn't be in the ANI doesn't even want either. In the ONAP, we don't have other database. That's the only thing we can dump into ANI now.
Right. I totally agree with you. Yeah, that's true. So okay. So Junfeng, you made a good point. I think there are also additionally sort of these ANI flows as well. Which I didn't mention here because, and the reason I didn't originally mention it here was because, you know, the CM Notify stuff is new. And before we run out of time, we only have 1 or 2 minutes left, I do need to update everybody on the CM Notify stuff. So if you look at these two links, there is the CM Notify best event 7.1.1 review has been made and is in the read the docs now. So if you go to here, I'll give you the link in the chat here, cut and paste. Okay, and if you go here, you'll see that in the appendix, if you go to VNF for PNF requirements documentation and go to the appendix, you'll see that it's now January 28th, 2020 instead of December 10th, 2018. So this has now been updated. Just so you know, yesterday, Trevor is, by the way, the person that's coordinating the review and update. So if you're Trevor Lovett, so if you're interested in what's happening there, they did also just put in the VES event 5.4.1 because there's still some repos in DC that are using that older version. So just so you know, we need 7.2 for the CM Notify that is coming supposedly in R7. Because Alec Gupta had been out on medical leave, they wanted to re-review everything for these two things to bring it up to date, which it is now up to date, and so now they can move forward. Moving forward means that in R7, they'll update this to 7.2, which will have the CM Notify, which we're hoping to use. Okay. All right. I think we're out of time, actually, or very close to out of time. We have one minute left. Okay. So any final thoughts before we close? Okay. So I think the next step is Joanne and I will be looking to present at the TSC, hopefully in 2 weeks' time. I'll send an email and copy everybody here on that email to add to see what we'll try. You know, they may give us a slot next week, but probably not. And then hopefully, you know, people who are interested can be on that TSC call at that time when we make the presentation. This past week on the TSC, they were presenting the architecture portal. And if you haven't seen that, that's actually quite interesting. I'll just show it to you really quick. I think it's this thing here. So it's the architecture portal. Paste in here, which the idea is that you will be able to click on any of these components, and it takes you to that components page, and it's a read the docs project thing. Okay, all right. Thank you everybody for attending. Have a very great day. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks.